Welcome to the Radio Academy podcast. Cue the music. Yes, if you thought my style of presentation couldn't get any more camp, you'd be wrong, because this week we're talking about musicals. Thank you. My worry is our bed's going to sound a bit pathetic after all of that, but still... Yeah, I was right. Anyway, we work with what we've got. My name is Christian Hugill. This is the podcast that looks at a different audio project each week. And today we are diving into the world of magic at the musicals. My guest is the director of events at TBI. They are a brilliant creative content agency which specialises in putting on big live events like Magic at the Musicals, as well as audio-visual content. So there is no one better than Andrew Wykes to explain to us how you go about putting on one of these big radio events. It's their bread and butter. But first, a little bit about TBI.
There are two fundamental parts, but we are one business of TBI. There's the content side of the business, and then there's the event side of the business. And I think where a lot of people would know us is where those elements actually cross, you know, the kind of large scale broadcast events that we do for TV and radio. But obviously, I'm sure a lot of people may only know us for some of the radio content we do or the podcasts. In my world, my background is all producing concerts and shows and large scale events. A lot of people would only potentially know us for events. So I think we're a kind of interesting business in that sense. But I run the events part of the business with myself and Phil are the two directors of the company. Phil oversees the broadcast side. I oversee the event side.
We all grew up listening to a radio station. I certainly think most people listening to this will have. For me personally, I listen to a lot of Radio 1, I listen to a lot of Capital, and you obviously hear Radio 1's Big Weekend, Capital's Summertime Ball. Now, today we're going to speak about Magic at the Musicals, but first, speaking more broadly, what's the key to a big radio station event? What do you guys try and do?
Well, gosh, that is a good question. Clearly, it's understanding the station. It's understanding the station and the audience and making sure that, you know, you're really tapping into the psyche of the audience, really trying to get under the skin of who they are, you know, what they want, what are the things that are going to excite them. And it's the same. I mean, look, it's the same approach as with all concerts or shows. It's never about yourself. It's always about the audience. And that's the fascinating thing. And it's great because I remember myself as a kid, you know, I'm out of an age where, you know, the Radio 1 Roadshow was like super exciting. And you know, if it was coming in anywhere near you, it was like, wow. And, you know, so I remember it myself and that kind of excitement. I think what you want to do is generate that excitement for that radio audience about the event that you are putting on.
It must be quite cool then to do that now, because you've obviously listened to a lot, you know, listened to the Radio 1 Roadshow, that's long gone, but now you're doing these sort of events. That must be a nice thing.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, like everybody, and I'm sure most people, you know, who work in radio, it's a passion business. And I think we all feel lucky when you're a part of entertainment or radio, or in my case, you know, producing shows and concerts. You know, I'm getting to do that all over the world, and of course it is. It's amazing. You know, it's great to be doing that as a job. Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about the process. You've been one of the key men behind Magic at the Musicals, which has been hugely successful. But take me back to the start, where Magic say, right, we want to do this huge concert. Where do you start?
Well, in that case, it was there are some times when, you know, clients or partners in the case of Magic come to you and they have an idea and you literally are kind of like scratching your head while always saying, yes, of course we can. But, you know, of course we can do that, because that's your natural answer. When Magic actually talked about the musicals, it was nice, really, because, you know, a lot of my background has been in and around musicals and working with producers and working with Disney and Andrew Lloyd Webber and so on. So I had a bit of a head start. The kind of concept of a kind of the biggest gala show at the Royal Albert Hall with a 55-piece orchestra, a 40-piece choir and cast from all the musicals it was still pretty daunting, but it wasn't maybe as daunting as it could have been. I think what was interesting about that one, that we kind of look back and laugh now, because the aspiration in year one was, wouldn't it be great if we could get three or four actual shows to partner with us, you know, as part of the bigger kind of gala concert. And I can't remember exactly what it was year one, but I think we had like 8 or 9 partner shows and we were like, wow, this is amazing. And then, you know, within a couple of years, it had gone to 13 and 14 partner shows. And I think this last year we had 17 partner shows, you know, with cast from all of those musicals coming to join us. So it's really grown and developed and in a way that, you know, is fantastic.
Obviously, so much planning that goes into it. But after all of that, when it comes to the night itself, are you a mixture of nervous and excited? Are you too busy to even think about it? How is actually putting on these things when all the listeners have piled in, the station branding's everywhere, the acts have all arrived? What's that like?
Yeah, I mean, you got it in one. It was, you know, you're nervous and excited and that never changes. I think if it did, there'd almost be something wrong. We're always with our shows, you know, we try and be as ambitious as we can. We try and do things that haven't been done before sometimes. And, you know, you want the show to be as great and as slick as it can. So it's just, yeah, it's exciting. But more than anything, it is exciting because you want the experience that you've been working on for so long. You're excited about the audience finally seeing it and experiencing it themselves. And, you know, when you sit in a room and you put together a kind of running order on paper and you think, yeah, that's really going to work and I can see how that flows, obviously you want to see it. You want that, you know, you want to see the audience responding in the way that you hope they will.
Obviously, if I go to a West End musical, right, the focus for the staff is me in the audience. It's my experience alone, really. But with a radio event like this, you've obviously got a huge number of people who might be listening live, they might be listening to highlights, they're not there, they're not in the audience. How much goes into thinking about the people who aren't there on the night as well as the people that are? How do you get that balance?
Yeah, the answer is a lot of thinking goes into it. I mean, you know, most people will experience that concert through the radio and that's the primary purpose of it. It's always about the listening experience. It's always making sure that there are never too many things that will not translate out of the room. And that comes down to the script and actually even sometimes the song choices, because, you know, while some West End performances are brilliant because they combine a kind of visual, you know, visual acting as well as the song, that will not always translate to radio. So it's super high in mind. One of the things that we kind of pride ourselves on at TBI is that we, you know, is that serving multiple audiences, you know, and we've produced shows that, you know, at the same time have gone out on, you know, a national radio station, live on TV and, you know, into cinemas sometimes. So, you know, where you're serving kind of multiple formats, but primarily, you know, this is for Magic Radio. Most people will listen to it on the radio and that's the, you know, that's the number one priority.
And with Magic in particular, what are you thinking about with Magic at the musicals? Because Magic's such a distinctive sound. But by the way, I love a bit of Magic. It feeds into my music taste perfectly as I'm getting older and moving away from youth music radio.
Magic comes to us all, and I've been there for quite a long time myself. So
it's a great place to be. I'm happy with it.
It's a good place to be. I'll tell you what, in the world we're in now, it's a great place to be.
It really is, yeah. But what are you thinking about in terms of, you know, how to translate it to the radio as well as just the concert?
Well, you know, obviously that's across so many different elements. We work really hard on the, you know, I mean, fundamentally the quality of the audio. You know, this my experience, you know, with a musical background, and primarily most of the shows that I produce are music based. It's all about the sound, you know, it's the sound and getting that translation where you feel like you're in the room, you know, you get that live sound, it's polished and it's sharp and it's obviously, you know, absolutely the highest quality. You know, we have the best musicians on stage, we have an incredible musical director. And then that's got to translate into how it's recorded. You know, we spend quite a lot of time post-mixing it. That doesn't happen on a lot of radio concerts, or in fact, most radio concerts, you know, but we spend 2 days just post-mixing this show to make sure the music is, you know, as good as it can be. Because I want the audience at home that are listening to be blown away by it. And that is, you know, at the end of the day, it's a listening experience. Then it comes on to the hosts, making sure you've got the right hosts that can, are used to radio with magic. For a couple of years now, we've had Jason Manford and Ruthie Henshaw. Ruthie's been there since year one. You know, she's incredible talent, has a warmth that really translates well to the radio. And of course, you know, Jason is a super talented guy as well. And then it comes into the script, making sure that there's nothing that's only going to just work in the room. And so, the whole experience, you know, we think about how it all layers and how it's all going to translate, as I said before, as an experience for the Magic Radio listeners.
So from minute one of that first meeting, the sort of, right, what are we going to do with Magic at the Musicals, to, well, that was a lovely show, I'm going home to sleep now because I need some sleep. What sort of time frame are we looking at?
Well, because it is now an annual show where we have kind of locked in dates pretty much up to 2 years in advance, of course it stops, but in one way it never really stops. You know, Sheena and I at Magic, you know, we see each other pretty regularly about various things, and you know, the rarely will we not talk about musicals, both, you know, together or separately. We'll see shows, we'll see what's going on, we'll get excited about new shows that are coming into town or touring, and you know, we'll talk about things, and we'll either make a mental note, or you know, we'll think about them directly for the next show.
I suppose that both surprises me and doesn't, that you've said this. My background, I mostly work in news and sports on the radio, but when I used to work at Newsbeater Radio 1, I remember going to Radio 1's big weekend, and I was so surprised at the end of it when one of the producers said to me, we already know where next year is, we're already talking about it. And that really surprised me at the time. It blew my mind, because for the audience, these things come and go. But for some people, they're never off, are they? I just find it fascinating.
Yeah, and you have to, again, you know, at TBI, you know, we do quite a lot of work in the musical space, and then you find yourself having conversations where, you go, we had that song, you know, 3 years ago. And then you think, logically, 3 years, you know, for a super popular song, for an audience that probably don't go to, you know, musicals every week, that's not a problem, right? You know, whereas, you know, you're always wanting to kind of reinvent and make sure you don't repeat. But it's getting the right balance. And certainly with Magic at the Musicals, it is getting the right show for the audience and making sure we've got that right balance of, you know, well-known songs with, you know, mostly familiar, but always keeping it fresh, making sure we represent new shows. And it's quite a hard balancing act.
Andrew, we always try and take something away from these episodes. You sort of went through it at the start, but if you could put into a few brief bullet points the key to a successful radio station event like this, what would you say?
I would say it's the spirit of collaboration, and you know, with Magic, that's, you know, that they are great partners to have. You know, we work as one team. It never feels like it's the kind of TBI team over here and the Magic team over there. It's right from the first meeting, it's felt incredibly collaborative, extremely respectful, that everybody's pulling in the same direction, and that's what's made the whole experience a joy.
Andrew is a very knowledgeable chap. I found that a real education, and I'm very grateful to him for giving us that insight into putting on a show, not just for the audience, but also those listeners out there in listenerland, as I think it was Chris Moyles who used to say. Really appreciate your time, Andrew, and next week we are marking the end of an era. Quite simply, our guest is the man behind one of the biggest podcasts of all time, as it finally draws to a close. And that is all I'm telling you. I know, I'm a tease. Before we go, you know on Netflix when it says, you might also like, well, here's our version. If you'd like to know more about what it's like working in radio, check out the Reproducer podcast. Producers Mark Jeeves and Jenny Nelson chat to experienced radio producers to find out about their career path, the advice they'd give to aspiring producers, their proudest moments at work, and their predictions about how radio may look and sound in the future. Guests so far have included Mark Lockett, the exec producer of the Dave Berry Breakfast Show on Absolute Radio, Karen Pearson, founder of Folded Wing, the production company, and she's a recent recipient of the Radio Academy Fellowship, Hussein Hassani, who's mornings editor at Times Radio, and Sarah Crawley, producer at Woman's Hour of BBC Radio 4. So if you've ever wondered exactly what radio producers do all day, check out the Reproducer podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Again, to me, that last line implies that radio producers don't do anything. I want to make very clear, like I said last week, I didn't write that last line. I know producers are very busy telling people like me to read plugs like this, for example. Anyway, I should go. Back next week. Look forward to talking to you then. Bye for now.